Our first reading is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he said, replied, "speak." A certain creditor who had two debtors who owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God."
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter, verses 3 through 9. When Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God." Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. They'll be remembered forever. Two unnamed women whose bold and unselfish acts were praised by Jesus. One was extravagant. One showed ultimate humility. Neither woman was trying to get attention. They didn't do or say anything that was intended to put the focus on them. They were just giving their gifts to Jesus. Two women. One washed Jesus' feet with her tears. One anointed his head with oil. Let's set the scenes of these stories. In the first one that Megan just read to us from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has come to the house of Simon the Pharisee, a self-assured man who entertained people all the time. We don't know Simon's motives for including Jesus in this gathering, but they probably were not honorable. But nevertheless, Jesus and the others are reclined at the table as they would do in this case, their feet tucked behind them on low mats and their shoes removed. And then, a woman, one from the city, one who was a sinner. That's Bible lingo for a prostitute, by the way. One who has seen Jesus, perhaps not for the first time, and she is filled with awe, and she comes into the picture. All she has with her is a small vial of concentrated perfume. They were known as alabasters, and they looked and were about this size. It was all she had to give, and give is what she did. The very sight of Jesus moved her to tears, tears so plentiful that she could wash the dusty feet of the one she saw and heard. Her hair, unbound as it should not have been if she was a proper and modest woman, was used to dry his feet, the feet of the one who drew her to him in ways that maybe she didn't even understand. The ointment was used to anoint Jesus' feet. And then she kissed them, an act beyond anything that would ever have been expected, even by the most gracious host. Did you ever think of what caused her to have so many tears? Enough tears to wash Jesus' feet. Think about it this way. I'm going to look at our second row when I say this. Children love to run in the house and run at church and run inside the classroom and run all over the place where they've been told not to run, right? Okay, amen. But they do it anyway. And then one day, and we've all been children, so you know I'm not leaving you out if you're over the age of 10, okay? One day, we're running around the house, and we bump into a table, and a glass of grape juice spills all over the white carpet. Or maybe a precious family heirloom was sitting there, and it falls off and breaks. And what happens? Buckets of tears. Oh, Mommy, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. I promise. Anybody ever say that? Yeah. Okay. Now, adults would try to fix this situation if they were to cause the spill or the breakage. We'd say, oh, let me pay for that, or I'll mop it up. Don't worry. I'll take care of getting it cleaned. But children go right to the basic core of their emotions. They beg for forgiveness, and they promise as best they can that they'll never do it again. This woman who was at the feet of Jesus wept buckets of tears too. We don't know if she said anything, but she didn't have to. Her tears were enough. Jesus knew she was sorry for what she had done. Sorry for, as he calls it, her many sins. And Jesus says to her, "Your sins are forgiven." She washed his feet with her tears. Richard Rohr, in the book that we're studying on Wednesday night, Falling Upward, refers to this woman as one whose false attempts at love became the school and stepping stones to such great love as was available from Jesus. Her false attempts at love. She had turned around a life filled with trying to find ways of being loved in ways that were inappropriate, until she found the one, Jesus, who would give her unconditional love. And she washed his feet with her tears. Our Presbyterian calendar tells us that this is a Sunday when we celebrate the gifts of women. I find it interesting that the word gifts can be used in so many different ways. We give birthday gifts and anniversary gifts, and we might take a gift to a hostess who is having us over for dinner. But gifts are also things that we get from God. They're talents and abilities and resources that we in turn give back to God or we give to others. I don't know if you noticed, but the second verse of the hymn that we sang this morning, Woman in the Night, honors this very woman and her simple gifts. Do you remember the verse that said, Woman at the feast, let the righteous stare. Come and go in peace. Love him with your hair. The hymn that we're going to sing after this message is all about her. It's entitled, To My Precious Lord, and the refrain says, I bring my flask of fragrant oil, kneeling down, I kiss his feet, anoint them with the oil. For this woman, she had little to offer, ointment, tears, and kisses, simple, unassuming gifts. Gifts given without any hesitancy or recognition of what they might cost her. Gifts that she gave to her Lord, given freely, given humbly. And Jesus blessed her and forgave her sins. And she washed his feet with her tears. We rejoice in the gifts of the women of this church, gifts of music, gifts of energy and time, gifts of leadership, gifts of prayer and encouragement and hospitality, gifts of teaching and preaching. The list could go on forever. What would our church look like without these gifts? A friend of mine who is an elder in a church in another presbytery was on a committee that was interviewing a new choir director for the church. He was coming to them from a PCA church, and if you're not familiar, that's a Presbyterian church in America, and they do not ordain women to anything. And so, doing their due diligence as a search committee, they asked what was a logical question to him, saying, how do you see yourself serving in a church where women are in positions of leadership? His answer was very telling. He said that he realized over all those years of serving that PCA church how much it was missing by excluding women who had such amazing gifts, especially of spiritual leadership. He was excited to be in a church where gifts of all people, young and not so young, men and women, all were valued and recognized and celebrated. And the rest of the story is, he was hired. The second woman in our gospel lesson from Mark had some things that were similar to the first woman, but while the first woman anointed Jesus sort of toward the beginning of his ministry, the second woman anoints her Lord just before his death. Again, let's set the scene. This woman is at the house of another Simon, Simon the leper. Now, I have to say, no wonder we get so confused trying to study the Bible. We've got Simon the Pharisee, Simon the leper. We know about Simon Peter. It'd be like asking all the gyms in this congregation to stand up. Okay? But this one is Simon the leper. We don't know anything about this second woman other than that the anointment that she had was worth about a year's wages. Think about it, a year's wages poured over Jesus' head. Was she wealthy? Was she just the opposite of the woman in the first story? For you see, the writer of the Gospel of Mark is intentional in telling us that she took the ointment and poured the entire vial over Jesus' head. Not just a little drop that might have been used for anointing, or that we might, if we were having an anointing service, have a little drop of oil put on her head, but the whole vial. And she also did something that I think is very curious. If you look back at that text, you'll see that she broke the jar. The jar could no longer be used, and the ointment in it, to anoint anyone else. There was an intentionality in her actions, a boldness in her style. She anointed his head with oil. I wonder if she knew that she was performing perhaps the last act of kindness toward Jesus in his time on earth. Did she know that this oil that was meant to be a blessing was also oil that would prepare him for his death? What was she thinking? What was she thinking? We don't know. But maybe that's the whole point. Maybe, just maybe, she gave without thinking, without calculating the cost, without worrying about what people were going to think or say. She just gave. She gave the gift of oil, the gift of selfless humility, the gift of honoring her Lord and Savior. And she anointed his head with oil. Now, if this message stopped here, we would be missing a big focus of both of these events. For you see, if these women had anointed or washed or kissed just any old man, we would never have heard of any of them, would we? But they gave their gifts of love to the one who would love them, the one who loved them before they even knew him, the one, the only one, who was worthy of receiving these gifts. One washed his feet with her tears. One anointed his head with oil. In this Lenten season, Andy has been leading us in reflecting on the humanity of Jesus as we come to worship each week. In these two stories, Jesus, the very human Jesus, the one with dirty feet, the one who for some was too holy to be anointed, but the one who gave his life for us, the one whose sacrifice we remember when we take this bread and drink the cup, the one who saw the gifts that women and men give back to him even when they were sinners, or wealthy, or you, or me. Jesus, without asking to be the center of attention, without asking that anything be given to him, received these gifts from women who loved him, and he blessed them, and he blesses each one of us as we give what we can of our time and talents and treasures, what we have, without seeking attention or applause or honors. He blesses us just because we are his. Amen. Am I that treasured child worth waiting for? I'm home and you rejoice. What love! What love! Go into the world to serve with joy. Amen.